Good morning, Poplar Springs. Just a few announcements for you. The first is about youth. This week, sixth grade, you guys are lunch on Wednesday. 7th, 8th, and 9th are Wednesday evening youth. So parents, if you'll let me know who is coming by Tuesday, that would be great. This message from the WMU, fried pies will be sold on Thursday, November 19th. Those are $2 a pie, and if you're interested in pre-ordering some of those, if you'll contact Wilma Petty or Nellie Harrell by November the 18th to place an order. And the money from that goes to support the WMU scholarships for our seniors who are members when they graduate in the spring. This afternoon at 4 o'clock in the Family Life Center will be church council, followed by church conference here in the sanctuary at 6. Some of you maybe in the last few years have been to our Thanksgiving service. Each year we have a Thanksgiving service that we call our community Thanksgiving, and it rotates between churches, and this year it's scheduled to be at Poplar Springs, and we will film that, and it will live stream the week of Thanksgiving. For anyone who wants to participate in that, we'll get more information to you. And anyone who wanted to bring a shoebox, if you didn't, you can bring them this week and bring them to the office, and we'll get them to the sanctuary and get those delivered where they need to go. Let's pray as we begin in worship today. Will you pray with me? God, you've given us an absolutely beautiful Sunday today, and we are thankful. Thankful that on this beautiful day, we can celebrate the joy of baptism. In baptism, we are born again. We are dipped below the water as a symbol of the cleansing we experience in our lives. And from then on, we speak, act, and live with the power of the Holy Spirit. Your presence that has the power to change hearts and minds lives in us. May we be reminded as we move forward, living in an extremely difficult time for our country and our world, that we who have been baptized in Christ are new creations, that we are called to a new way of living, that we are called to a kinder way of speaking, and that we are called to a different way of acting. Remind us of this gracious gift of new life that you've gifted us with today as we celebrate the new life of two of our own, and empower us to live again in the gentle and loving way that shares the gospel. Amen.
I don't want to surprise you too much, but we've got a different service today. We've kind of got it backwards a little bit, but that's okay. I'm up here, and we're going to do a couple of things as we prepare for baptism. One thing is I'm going to bring a message, and we're going to do that this morning. But I want to do something first before we get started. Roger Harris, called Roger to ask if he would be a person who would share a little bit about our veterans today. Roger was going to do that presentation, but Roger has been quarantined because he's been in contact with someone with the virus, so he's not going to be able to be here. So I'm going to share these words. If they sound like Roger Harris, they are Roger Harris's words. So let me share them with you right now. It was the 11th hour of the 11th day in the 11th month in 1918 when the world celebrated a treaty ending what was to be the war to end all wars, World War I. 1 year later, on what came to be known as Armistice Day, Americans came together to remember and honor the sacrifices of men and women who served during the war. Soldiers who survived the war marched in parades and were honored by speeches and ceremonies recognizing their contribution to peace throughout the world. Congress declared Armistice Day a national holiday in 1938, but by this time Americans realized World War I would not be the last war. After the Second World War, which was even bloodier than the first, Armistice Day continued to be observed. In 1954, Congress changed the name of the holiday to Veterans Day to honor veterans of the United States wars. This coming Wednesday, Americans honor the service of our veterans. We do that on Wednesday. Here we sit this morning in the greatest nation on the earth, free to attend the church of our choice, to own as many Bibles as we can afford, to publicly speak for or against issues that are important to us, and to vote for the person we think will do the best job. And why are we able to enjoy these freedoms? Because the men and women in our armed forces understand that freedom has a cost. Since the birth of our nation, brave men and women have stepped forward, weighed the cost, and chosen to do whatever they were called to do in service to their nation. Saying thank you just doesn't seem like enough, but it's what we can do. It's what we can do. If you've served in the United States in uniform and are proud to hold the title of U.S. veteran, would you please stand and let this church acknowledge your service at this time? Veterans, would you stand? Thank you. Roger had some pretty good words there. We ask Roger to do a lot of these things because Roger is a history man, and he really does a good job on that. All right. It's Baptism Day. It's a great day. I'm excited about it. Looking forward to it. I think Jake and Nolan have about a 15-minute speech they want to share with y'all this morning. I'm going to give them a little bit of time to do that a little later on, so don't you worry about it. Y'all just relax. But it's good. It's a good day, and they're not going to have to speak. I think they're worried about that. Both of them are kind of quiet guys, so and I'm quiet too. So, all right. We'll be reading from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. A passage of Scripture that, well, it's Paul. You know, Paul, I relate to Paul because Paul can ramble. He rambles when he talks about stuff. He tries to explain stuff, and finally, what I do is when I read in Romans, I've been reading Romans in my study recently, and when I look at Romans, I say, Paul, cut to the chase. Well, he is cutting to the chase, but he has to explain it so many different ways, so it's very interesting. But we're going to go with Romans 6, 1 through 11. Bear with me, but we're going to get some explanation out of this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We've been united with him like this in his death. We will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we observe the ordinance of baptism this morning. As Jake and Nolan come to be baptized, I pray that this will be a service where we honor you, a time where we remember our own baptism. And if a person has not been baptized and has accepted Jesus Christ, it may be a time for them to think about making that decision. But I pray, Father, you'll speak to us today as we worship together. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Paul's correspondence, I've alluded to it earlier, can be kind of confusing to the current people today. Paul is incorporating some ideas that were very familiar to people of that day. Some ideas that were very familiar to them of that day. There was some understanding as to what he was talking about. He wasn't coming out of the blue. They were familiar with stories, particularly from some of the mystery religions of the day, of death, resurrection, and identifying with one who died and came back to life again. They were familiar with these stories. They were stories that circulated in a lot of the places around there. So Paul was not just coming out of the blue. Folks were familiar with the concept he was talking about. He was a master of adaptation. Paul was a master of adaptation, finding a point of contact with somebody and saying, let me explain this to you. Case in point, in the book of Acts, there's a wonderful story. The Greek in Athens were doing their favorite things. Doing their favorite thing. They were arguing in the courtyard. They loved to do that. They loved to sit around and talk about various gods and goddesses and theology and philosophy. That's something they did. On this particular day, Paul shows up in Athens. What you talking about, he said. And that's not the way the scripture says it, but that's the way I've interpreted it. What you talking about? And they told him. He said, over there, that representation, what is that? They said, that's the altar to the unknown God. The altar to the unknown God. Paul responded, that's the God I worship. That's the God I worship. That's the one true God, the unknown God you're talking about over there. You want me to tell you about him? He adapted to the situation. He took a concept they were familiar with and made it relevant to them. That's something they could relate to, a point of contact. We have to do that in the world today. He did that here. He made the point of contact with these people. You have your heroes who died and rose again. Let me tell you about the one who just recently did that, he said. Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about him. Furthermore, he causes us to change so much that it's like dying to our old way of life and rising up to new life, just like he rose. It's different. People of Paul's day were familiar with this figurative language. But we're far removed and can interpret the word best we can under the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. We can interpret it that way. Try explaining this passage, if you will, about living and dying, dying to the old self. Try explaining that to a six-year-old. I always have the fear of trying to explain things when someone says, well, a lot of times what folks do is they say, he or she's asking questions about baptism and accepting Christ. Let's get him to the preacher as soon as we can. But, you know, we talk to our kids. We need to talk to them and tell them it's like dying to our old self. It's like dying, but we're raised a new life. In the previous chapter, Paul says in verse 20 this thing, and this is important to think about. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. He's dealing with people who had made a decision. They'd made a decision. They were people looking for loopholes, looking for loopholes. And here's what some of the folks in Paul's day and in our day concluded from the passage. Since our life, sin in our life increases the amount of God's grace. Sin in our life increases the amount of God's grace. More sin, more grace. That's what they decided. The people did. That's a good thing. It makes sense that if we can sin all the more and thus make the evidence of God's mercy and forgiveness all the more real and obvious, we need to get out there and sin. We need to sin. Time's a-wasting. We got things to do. We need to do that. There's plenty of sinful stuff I'm missing out on. That's the people he was dealing with. And I do want to help God fulfill his purpose about grace. So I'll sin all the more. Paul's response to this line of thinking is this. No. 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 He says this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. In other words, Paul says no. Then what does he mean? I think sometimes we humans have too much spare time. We have too much spare time. Or we look for an escape clause somewhere in our relationship with Almighty God. God, what can I get away with? Aren't there some good things that I can do in the sinful world there that might, you know, I've got my favorite sins. I don't want to do away with them, God. I can justify them. I can rationalize them. Paul offers an emphatic no way to those who thought they had found a way to justify their sin-filled lives. You can't justify it. We're sinners. They decided they were going to say they were doing God a favor and allowing them to be used as an example of the amazing, ceaseless grace and forgiveness of God. But Paul says that's not it. Heard a rock musician one time say this. I'm a Christian and I live the life I live, which was sinful and depraved, because what is done here and now is of no significance. It doesn't mean anything. So I'll continue my current sinful lifestyle. And so the grace of God can continue. That's wrong. That's wrong. We people are good at rationalizing. We rationalize a life we're comfortable in. And some have decided that sin was forgiven and amends with God made, punishment and justice achieved, sins covered, so live it up. So live it up. You can do the same thing, and I can do the same thing as well. We can live believing in the loophole and deceive ourselves and live like those who have no restraint and self-control. We can do that. We can do that. We have a free will. And Paul assures us that you will eventually be miserable and slaves to sin. That's in the scripture. You'll be slaves to sin. When being Christ's servant is far less stressful. Far less stressful. Paul goes on to talk about baptism. And I use this word cautiously when I talk about baptism because it's more than just a symbol. It's an ordinance. It's an act of worship. But I've used the word symbolism. Baptism is a holy ordinance. Don't forget that. But there's symbolism. It's a sermon preached by those being baptized. It's a sermon being preached. It's an object lesson. I was a youth minister for 20 years. And I did the children's message every Sunday. And what I did was I used an object. I'd take something, and it got me in trouble a number of times, but I'd take an object and I would use it and I would share a story with them and preach a sermon. Jesus did the same thing and he called it parables. He called it parables. One point to make with a simple object. He took dirt and seeds. He took dirt from the ground and seeds, and he talked about the true follower of Christ being the good dirt that produces when the seed of the gospel is sown in him or her. He took a candle and said, "You are the light of the world. You're the light of the world." He took salt and told his followers, "You're like salt. You're like salt. You're a preservative in a world that's spoiling. You're a dash of flavor in a bland and tasteless world. We add flavor. And you're salt that melts the coldest of hearts." He took simple objects. Our passage today, Paul explains the significance of baptism. And it's an object lesson. It's an object lesson for us. He uses water, person being immersed in that water. Baptism was and is an act of purification in many religions. But Paul is saying there's more. You are immersed in that water. You're doing a dramatic and holy representation of dying. It's like dying. You're dying to your old way of life. We do that. Now, we still struggle with the old nature. We still struggle with it. But we die to our old way of life. And you're no longer burdened with past sins and regrets. It's over with. You're dead. Isn't that a great thing? You're dead. But if you'll take note, you're not staying underwater. Paul's not advocating drowning, but being raised out of the water, thus symbolizing being raised from the dead as Christ was raised. The point being, when I take them down in the water, I'm not leaving them there. They're coming back out of the water, symbolizing life, new life in Christ. It's important to remember that. The old life is gone, and we are new in Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate today. We're celebrating new life. It's a reason to smile. It's a reason to smile. Jake Reynolds is being baptized. Jake has been patient. He's been very patient. First attempt at baptism, he got sick. It was back about a year ago, wasn't it? Close to a year ago. We tried to baptize him, but he got sick. I think he was worried about me. But he's got sick. I got sick a little later, so it must have been real. Second attempt, COVID restrictions. We've held off because of COVID. Jake, you were a lot smaller then. So I'm baptizing you second, because you and I may both be in the water. You're a new person. You're a new person. Raised with Christ from the dead. You've confessed faith that Jesus dying for you as God in the flesh is enough. It's enough. Live in righteousness and be yourself as a follower of Christ Jesus. Be yourself. You don't have to be something different. Be different from inside. Be yourself. Use that wonderful personality you have to be a different person. And use it. Let him use your talent and abilities to further his kingdom in the world. Nolan Baker. Nolan used to give me the mean eye in toddler classroom. I'd come into the toddler Sunday school class. I'd say, "Hey, Nolan." He'd go. And I'd go. Eventually, we get beyond that. He wasn't mad at me. That's just what we did. That was our thing. And that's the wonderful thing about being in church. I get to see these guys grow up. It's tremendous. But Nolan gave me the mean eye. We both laughed after this initial exchange. We laughed about it. And I think the teachers were glad to see me go, because I usually disrupted most classes I went into. But you're still Nolan. You're still Nolan. But just a new and improved version. A forgiven version. A wonderful version. You profess faith in Jesus Christ and you're a new creation in Him. Go be the light of the world. Go be light in a dark world. Be the light of Christ. Live a life that brings honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Both of you. Live so that folks will say, "There's a Christian. I want to be like that. I want to be like Jesus." Let's honor Him today as we take this ordinance of baptism. Let's pray, and then we'll go and observe the ordinance of baptism. Let's pray together. Father, there's new life we celebrate today, new life in Christ. It's a wonderful time for us to reflect a little bit and think about our own baptism or our need to be baptized and come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you'll speak to us, that you'll use us as your lights in the world, that this baptism will be a time that energizes us and helps us to grow. Thank you so much for the opportunity to do this. And I pray, Father, that we'll acknowledge your presence in our midst. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. But we know that you are God. You're
Good morning, Papa Springs. As we come into our time of community prayer, I know that there are a lot of things that we are all probably struggling with right now, but there are a few that I do want to touch on. The first one is Gerald Strickland's family and his passing. There seems like there's stuff like this every week. And I'm sure it's hard on a lot of us, but we still want to remember this family and all the families who have been dealing with these losses. Another one is Chris Beaver. He had brain surgery yesterday and is recovering from that, so we'll definitely need to be praying for him in that. There's also Travis Bradley, and Sharon Fisher, who both have upcoming surgeries. Penny Melton, who is also recovering from surgery. So a lot of surgeries that have been going on as well. Also be in prayer for Modine Patterson, who is Andy's aunt, who is in the hospital right now. So be in prayer for her. And the last one that I want to mention is Tristan Campbell, who is a friend of Robert Callahan, who was struck by a car. She is still alive and is, I think, doing fairly okay, if you can say that in this instance, but is still alive, but we'll definitely need your prayers in the recovery that will be coming with that. With all these things, would you please join me in prayer? God, we just come to you today. We have all of these things that are on our hearts. Many of these things are heavy on us, and we need your peace. We need your comfort to find the understanding in some of these things and to find a comfort that allows us to not be felt all in this worry. We find comforts in many of the other things that we also have going on today. The baptisms that we have, the new lives that these two will be living out. We ask that you will use this moment to show us what it is that we are doing with our lives, that you will remind us of that step that we took, however long ago it may have been, and encourage the two that are coming today, and encourage us in the steps that we have taken and that we continue to take. I just ask that you will watch over this church, this community, and this country. Just be with us as we are trying to figure out all of these different things that are going on. And I just ask for all of this in your name. Amen.
Sweet, sweet.
This is one of the privileges of being a pastor, to be able to baptize those that have grown up the church, grown from the small, young ages, and made that profession of faith in Christ. So we celebrate that today. Nolan Baker, you have professed faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In obedience to His command, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jake Reynolds has professed his faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In obedience to his command, I now baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is good. They survived. What a great day it's been. Thank you for being here today. Family, we're glad you're here. They're on the front row. Speak to the family. Catherine, you've got some final words to share. So thank you very much. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this ordinance of baptism. We thank you that we've had this chance to observe that and to offer encouragement and hope and all those things as we worship today. I pray, Father, that you'll speak to us as we go through this week and that we'll be supportive of these who have made their decision and now following Christ. I pray, God, that you'll help us be the proper example for them, be the encouragement for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
We are very thankful to have Jake and Nolan's families here today. As they are changing and getting dried off, I'm going to go ahead and let the families have these Bibles that we have for Jake and for Nolan. And these will have a special something in them because we dated these back in March when we were planning to originally have them, and we've redated them for today with a note of why we had to change the date for the pandemic. So as they get older, that will be an important part of history, an important part of their life. So Nicole, if you'll help me out here for Jake and for Nolan. And we are excited to watch them grow and be their church family as they grow in their walk with God. Church family, we're glad you have been with us today. I want to remind you that your deacon of the week is Sid Bryson. Sid is back with our kids who have been baptized, but if you need anything this week and you cannot reach somebody at the church, you can call Sid and he'll be happy to help you. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the chance we have to have celebrated today with these two new lives in our kingdom. And God, I just pray that as we go forward into this coming week, God, that we would remember our own baptisms. God, that we would remember the weight of your sacrifice of your son Jesus for us, God, that we may have eternal life with you. God, may we be reminded of that, and may we be reminded of the change you have made in our lives. God, may we seek to live lives that reflect you. It's in Christ and we pray. Amen. Have a great Sunday.
There's a lighter. We can just burn it off.